right, welcome to Allegedly. I'm one of your hosts, Theo Vaughn.
And I'm your other host, Matthew Cole Weiss. And today our special guest is Matt Eisman.
Matt Eisman, the host of American Ninja Warrior, a comedian, also a doctor.
I gotta say, even I was disappointed after Jerry O'Connell and Howie Mandel. It's like, and Matt Eisman. We got a list credit, so you know who he is.
How many Twitter followers
are getting
do you
big
have?
People.
How many Twitter followers do you have?
Not enough. What, like 80,000?
You know what? That's 80,000 that we need.
Yes.
So right, we thank need, okay, you very much.
Extremely interactive.
We'll
your American Ninja Warrior fans are extremely interactive.
Yeah, it's funny. They're fanatical about the show.
Yeah.
And I live tweet every Monday night. Anyone who follows me probably muted me already because I'll do East Coast all the way through the West Coast.
Wow, that's intense.
It is. You know, it's one of those things, though, because for me, I'm such a star whore. Mm-hmm. And to me, what's cool is like you're interacting with fans, like, you know, some kid gets on their parents' account and they tweet something and you're like, hey, thanks for watching it. And to imagine what it must have been like, you know, when we were kids, if like Lee Majors, you're watching the $6 Million Man and Lee Majors is like, thanks for watching. Not that I'm Lee Majors. But how cool is it
Lee
that
Majors,
you can interact with people?
You?
Oh, 44.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, the 70s,
so,
bro.
Looking good.
The $6 Million Man.
Or like, yeah, like if Michael Landon, like if I tweeted
right,
at him
right.
during LHOP.
Landon.
And I'm like, I'm so
L-H-O-P.
Sorry. L-H-O-P. I'm so sorry that Mary got kicked in the head and went blind again.
Right. Again.
And he's like, oh, don't worry, bro.
Wow, Michael Landon and Lee Majors. I'm like hoping it's like Winona Ryder and Christian Slater or something from
whoa.
Like, that's like my youth. Or Pee Wee Herman. That would be so cool.
Thanks for making us feel old.
Yeah, well, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, if the shoe fits, man.
So, yeah, today we have Matt, who is the host of American Ninja Warrior, and welcome to Allegedly.
Thank you.
Yeah, and your shoes have to be sandals right now because you're on break right now, aren't you?
Well, we just actually, last week, we shot a spinoff show for the Esquire channel called Team Ninja Warrior,
okay,
where we had teams of three competing. And it's surreal. Like, the past couple years, the show... I mean, the show's, it's one of those ridiculous stories where it started out as a G4 show. I mean,
yes.
It's originally a Japanese show that they dubbed into English. It was doing so well for G4, they make an American version. I come in season two, and you're like a 10-episode summer nothing on a channel that not a lot of people know about with G4. But it starts doing well. Comcast owns G4. They buy NBC. We put a finale on there because NBC didn't have much summer programming. It does great. All of a sudden, we're going from split broadcast to now we're exclusively NBC.
Wow.
And now we have a spinoff show that's going back to G4's Become Esquire.
And what do you attest that to? Do you think people
hosting.
Like...
The great hosting is...
Oh, right.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's the right place, right time. This show kind of has hit where people are, you know, people have always been into fitness, but I think that people... are looking for kind of a different challenge than just sitting on the treadmill. Yeah. So you've seen the rise of CrossFit.
Well, let me ask this. Do you think this is a glass half full or half empty question. Do you think it's because people want the people to succeed in the course or because they're looking for them to fail?
Hmm.
I think, unlike NASCAR or something where you watch for the crashes, I think people identify with the stories because... You know, unlike NASCAR or the NFL or NBA, when you look at these players, my co-host is Akbar Bajabimila. He's 6'6", 260,
yeah.
The greatest athlete I've ever seen live. And he was a journeyman NFL player.
Right.
So you watch the NFL, you're like, that's not me.
Right.
I'm not that guy. I'm not LeBron James.
Right. I'm the chubby husband who might be able to throw it up on the handlebars in the backyard.
Right. Exactly. And so you see, when you see American Ninja Warrior, the people who come on, we have some pro athletes, but for the most part, they're everyday people who just have this extraordinary dedication. And
and
every year we have people who go from the couch to get inspired and come out on the court.
Well, maybe I'm just evil then.
Well,
I want some of these people to fail. I'm just kidding.
It's hard because also, obviously, we kind of follow this. You know, we tell the people stories because otherwise it's just people doing this same course for 2 hours every night. It's the same thing.
Have there been like assholes on there that you're like,
honestly,
I really want
very,
this guy to
very
fail.
Few.
Okay. And let's wait till we get to the interview round.
I was just so excited.
It's three rounds. That's how we play right? This is the competition. You understand, Matt and I are going to each tell a story. You're going to judge who has the best story. Then we're going to do an interview. You're going to judge who's the best interviewer. And then we're going to do our round three.
I like making things competitive.
Good.
Oh, so do we.
No, that's a look.
You and I, the thing about Theo and I is we're incredibly
how
different.
Did you guys meet?
Grindr. No, it was before Grindr.
This is before Grindr, and this was also I'm straight.
Oh.
So, I mean, for now anyway.
Confusing you with everybody else in my life. We met when he came to my birthday party, like when I first moved here, 12, 13 years ago.
And it was roller skating. It was a roller skating.
Like, who is this guy?
Oh, who Swartzen used to throw great roller skating parties.
Oh, yeah, I could totally see him doing
and
that.
And I was like, who is
this
guy?
The one in the valley? There's like one
this
roller.
This one? Yeah. Okay. Oh, my God, this is so perfect for my story that I'm about to tell too. But and I was like, who is this guy? And you wouldn't expect us to get along because he's, you know, Southern, straight,
Christian. I know the pathway to the afterlife.
Right. And he's not on it.
He's not on it. No,
I'm apparently going to burn in hell.
Well,
yeah, from the gay thing and the Jewish thing.
Well, hey, this is a twofer, bro.
And being one of those northerners.
But you can still be saved, actually, and I'll give you a pamphlet right after this.
Awesome. I actually have a lot of those in my family. That's a whole other story. Anyway, and so we just kind of, you know, we are always there for each other whenever we're at rock bottom. And
it happens a lot.
It's awesome hearing like a different perspective in your life.
Yeah.
You know, that's really cool.
Yeah. So, and we get, I mean, we constantly find new rock bottoms. We're like the Christopher Columbuses of rock bottoms, like at Plymouth every other week.
Right.
All right, let's start round one. Matt, you're going to do your story first.
I am excited because...
Hold on, let's get 5 minutes on the clock. Go, Matt.
I am excited because this story encompasses three things that we have already touched on. Roller skating, sports, and celebrities, which you said you were kind of a star whore, right?
Oh, totally.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about something I did 2 weekends ago. I work for People Magazine, and part of the thing is they send me to events to cover to talk to people.
Right.
Now, this is an example of a day in my life. In the same night, I went to the premiere of Meryl Streep's new movie, The Suffragette, about women getting the right to vote in England.
Boo. And then,
what's that about?
Sorry, no offense. Well, I'm not into British women, man. A little Rubenesque.
Literally after that, I had to drive and cover Snoop Dogg's birthday party.
Had to.
Awesome.
You got to.
So in the same night, I interviewed Meryl Streep and hung out with Meryl Streep and went to Snoop Dogg's birthday.
Yeah, and his car didn't even run on gas. It ran on sheer gay joy, leaving Meryl Streep's birthday.
Meryl Streep thing. And now the funny thing is why the Snoop Dogg's birthday party was at a roller skating rink.
Wow.
Look at it all coming back together. Now, the reason they sent me to Snoop Dogg's birthday party is because there were supposed to be athletes there from the Clippers and the Lakers. And so they wanted me to speak to them about Lamar Odom, mm-hmm. right? Here's the thing. They didn't tell me who. And then they the publicist at the event.
You're having to do some profiling at that point?
Major profiling. So they didn't tell me who. But then they literally, normally you're at an event and there's a red carpet. This didn't have a red carpet. It was go inside and hang out and observe and you're on your own.
Right.
And the publicist, who was the only other white person there, was this young girl who had no idea who any of these athletes are.
Oh my God. And no idea she was probably going to end up banging her brother later.
Right. She knew that. She knew.
So in other words, she was no help at all. So what I had to do was I had the names, a Laker, I think, named Julius Randle,
uh-huh.
and another guy named D'Angelo...
Hall?
Russell?
D'Angelo
Anthony
Russell?
Something.
DeAndre Jordan?
No.
D'Angelo the rapper?
Definitely D'Angelo...
He put on weight.
Something.
D'Angelo
anyway.
Hall, probably.
Right. He's on a Laker or something. And so all I know is that they're there.
Okay.
That these two people are right. there. I have no idea what they look like. And so I pull up Google, and I'm looking at this. I'm literally looking at every tall black man there, which were plenty.
And is it dark in the club? And I don't mean the environment. I mean, like, literally the light.
And there's got to be smoke. It's snow. There's got to be a fog going on.
By the way, yes, there was, which made it dangerous to roller skate, I would believe. But the cake was a giant blunt.
Mm-hmm.
That actually had real marijuana cooked into it.
Oh, my God.
Which was one of the coolest things. And what Snoop Dogg did was he was in the center of the roller rink. They actually built, like, a little DJ booth.
Right.
And he was up there smoking something and DJing.
A
and then
pot.
I don't think he's gonna come after you.
And then he would go skate around, but he wouldn't skate on roller skates. He had one of those, you know, new personal Segway things that... So that's, like, the new roller skate, by the way, because there was a lot
of
people...
Wait, the one with handles or the one that...
Without
everyone's doing
where it's just like
you balance.
You balance, yeah. So Snoop was going around.
The hey, I'm lazy. That's
what
I call it.
Exactly. So I didn't know anybody there other than Snoop. Chuck Liddell was there. That's true.
Okay.
And Chris Brown was there. And that's a separate issue, which I'll talk about in a second. So anyway, I'm going up. I'm looking at these people and looking at these, and I'm thinking, and it's so freaking stereotypical. Like, hey, are you a Laker? And hey, do you know Lamar Odom? Like, hey, you're
it's
black.
Not,
so,
but if you're a hot girl on Instagram, it's not stereotypical to ask this question.
But I'm not by any means.
And the answer is always, I would say, yes, I'm a Laker.
So
yes.
I'm like, what do I do?
Asking.
So I go up to one guy. guy, and I'm like, he looked like a basketball player, and I was just like, excuse me, I know this is like, are you a basketball player? And he goes, no. And I was like, all right, this is not going well by any means. So I'm like, I can't go up to these people. So I was like, you know, there's a photographer in here, and I'm going to ask him, and he can help me because he's taking pictures. So I go up to him, and I'm like, listen, dude, I work for People Magazine. I need some help figuring out who some of these people are. And he goes, I got no idea either. And I was like, oh, God. So I was like, forget it. I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do.
Wow. Your story ended just poorly, I thought, Matt.
No. The cap of the story is I did meet Chris Brown, and we've discussed this, and this is an issue. I took a picture with him.
So you can't find black people, but you can find brown
people. Right.
Well, I can find brown people. I took a picture with him. I regretted it afterwards. I posted it on social media, and I got a lot of hate for it.
Wow. Yeah, that was interesting.
A lot of hate for it because it brings up the issue of, you know, do we forgive and forget? And
and how big of a star whore am I where, like, I would get a picture with someone even if they're like, you know, would, like,
you get a picture
with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
You know, would you do it?
I did. Apparently I did, and I'm not shallow that it did. But then I was also thinking, and it's a separate issue of, is it okay to listen to someone's music or see someone's movie if they did something horrendous? Like, my mom will not see.
Well, we're seeing that in comedy with Bill Cosby right now.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Yeah,
where they're whitewashing his existence.
Come on,
I mean, I know, right? Awful.
It's blackballing.
Blackballing him. I mean, and it's interesting because the reality is, if you look back through history, I'm sure there are a lot of people who we hold in high esteem who did horrible things. And the question is, when you find out about it, does it change the art?
Completely. If it was my mom, she won't see a Mel Gibson movie. She won't see a Woody Allen movie. If it's me, I say, okay, like, I still listen to Chris Brown's music. So I took the picture with him. Anyway, I got a lot of flack for it.
And then also at the same time, though, we'll have like the Robert Durst movie. We'll make a movie about a guy who's allegedly committed crimes.
Right.
As if that's a great, like, not a great thing, but like, let's make money off of this.
Right.
You know?
Well,
right.
He did commit the crime.
Right. Agreed.
And that was one of my favorite.
It's the best.
Miniseries ever.
Have you seen it?
I don't know. But to me, this is just, it's getting really interesting in that we're holding people to such a high standard.
Mm-hmm. Well,
where it's like, why, you know, don't confuse the artist with the art.
Yeah.
Right. And that
would you take a photo real quick? Would you take a photo, since you are in athletics, with Lance Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I would too.
But
I'm sure there's a lot of people who wouldn't, right?
I would only do it because allegedly banged one of the Olsen twins.
Oh, really?
The reason why? Yeah.
Would
dude.
You do it with Ray Rice?
You know, what it would come down to, though, honestly, is look.
If you were in an elevator,
I try not to. Good one. I try not to judge people. I'm like, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Agreed.
Right.
Okay.
We're all guilty.
But I also think, look, you. At some point, we're all going to stumble in some way or fashion. And to me, I'm also like, I know I'm going to do something stupid if I haven't already. And I realize I don't know everyone's motivations. Lance was a total asshole, crucifying all the people who came after him, taking his stance. But I'm also sympathetic to how you can end up in that situation where you kind of, you start with the lie. I mean, Steve Rann is easy.
Yeah.
Where you start with the lie thinking it's nothing, and then it just gets caught up, and you're at a certain point, you're like, I don't know how to get out of this.
Yeah.
My only solution is to double down. Not saying it's right, but I also just feel like I can enjoy someone's art separate from whether I like them or not.
Very cool.
Right.
Very cool. Well,
but again, if people want to take a stand on it, you know, I'm just like, I just ask that they be consistent.
Well, I believe I should get extra points for actually having two sports references there. I know who Ray Rice is and Lance Armstrong.
Okay,
That's a rarity.
Only because they cross over into pop culture, though.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Also, yeah. I mean, but also, you got to admit, banging one of the Olsen twins has to be like riding a 10-speed bike. I mean, they're the same frame. Is that kind of true? All right. My story.
Five minutes on the clock, please.
All right. My story gets a little local, and sometimes now, you're a single guy, right, mm-hmm. Matt? Now, I'm sure you know, I mean, obviously, you know, like, you've run into a lot of ladies around town and around the world and this and that, but I met this gal at a comedy show, right? And I didn't super remember that well.
Your show, you performed.
I performed at the comedy show. And so I got her number, so a week later or whatever, we're texting, right? And she's like, well, come stop by this bar. She was at a bar, and it was late. It was probably about 1:30, right? So I stopped by. I mean, first of of all, just to try and get a better look at this lady and remember, because I don't remember exactly what she looked like.
And do you drink when you do comedy?
I wasn't drinking on this night, okay. Right? So I was chatting with this gal. So I went by and stopped and chatted, and she was either drunk or really weird, right? I couldn't tell which one. Like, she was just like a maybe
some hybrid of the both.
Yeah, and she just like everything I would say, I'd be like, I'm going to order a ginger ale. And she'd be like, I know what you're up to.
Oh, you
know?
She was like being a guy. That's what he said.
Yeah, like everything I was doing like was like part of some weird crime. And I'm always, I feel like a little bit guilty. Right. So I'm like, does she know? Like, am I doing some dirtbag shit that I don't even recognize right now? So then I'm like, all right, I got to get out of here. Like, I wasn't interested in really staying up super late, and I didn't really know this gal. And she's like, well, you're coming back to my house. Is that what you mean? And I was like, wow. You know, this is a close eye. So I've never been gay, but I do at this point know what it sounds like to go back home with someone that sounds like a man. Okay, I will say that.
Was she attractive?
Yeah, she was cute. She was, okay. Yeah, she was attractive. She was attractive enough for 1:30.
She was an 8. Okay.
But here's what happened.
She was a 1:37.
But I was like, at first I'm like, I'm not coming with you. And she's like, oh, don't you want to see my house, right? And look, I don't have a lot of friends that have houses. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll go look at a house at 2 a.m. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, how far is it from here? She's like, about 6 blocks.
You just went for the real estate.
Right.
Yeah, I want to see what's going on.
You know, it's like Zillow. It's, I mean, yeah, it's the 3D tour.
Yeah. I'm really interested in the market these days.
So I get to this lady's house, right? And she, the power had been out. There had been rolling blackouts. This is about two weeks ago.
Yeah.
So she starts taking me around her house with a flashlight, right? And she had this cat, I guess, named Darman, right? She said this cat named Darman, right? And I'm like, first of all, who give a cat like a Persian name? Because that sounds very Middle Eastern to me.
Darman?
No offense if you guys are Persian. Right. Yeah. But
my buddy, my friend, this is my cat, Darman. He can help you with parking.
My buddy, I'm an asshole. Don't you know I'm an asshole? I'm an asshole. So anyway, she starts showing me all these places in her house where Darman used to play because Darman died. Darman just died.
Oh.
She said at 24 years old. I'm like,
what?
Wow.
Jesus.
That's like a record for cats.
Yeah, like he could have got like an elementary and college education. Like,
wow.
Darman's an adult, right?
Persian cats live longer.
Yeah, they're princes. So she shows me all around the house and like all these places where Darman used to play. And I'm like, fuck, what am I doing here? Like, it's 2:15 now.
Sad.
I don't even, like a ghost tour
for cats.
God.
And I don't even want to get it up in this lady's cat. Like, I have zero interest. I'm totally turned off. It is a nice house, though, and right. She just put in a fire pit.
I bet you did. Get up in her
cat. So, well, listen to what happens. So next thing you know, we go inside, and I'm like, look, I got to get out of here. And she's like, oh, what do you mean, right? Like, I'm like, I mean, I got to get the fuck out of here.
I feel like you were on a date with, like, a Saturday Night Live character.
Bro. Yeah, like, it was like Jeff Richards' drunk girl, that drunk girl character. So I'm like, I got to get out of here, right? She's like, oh, you're not getting out of here. You're getting into something, right? And she literally, like, starts to rip off her shirt, but then realizes that it was like a nice expensive shirt. So she like slowly tries to unbutton it real fast, and I'm like, oh, this lady is whack, right? So I'm like, but cute. But I'm like, so I gotta go. And she's like, come here. And she like lights this candle and she takes me into this bedroom, right? She takes me into this bedroom, sets the candle on the thing on the like this dresser, and I'm like, that dresser looks a little bit weird. And then she sits down like on this bed and there's a child asleep in this room. She has a kid. She has a 9-year-old kid, immediately like kind of brushes the kids back. The kid wakes up, right? And I'm like, hey, sweetheart.
Hey.
What is going on, right?
Meet your new daddy.
She's like, this is Daphne. And I'm like, hey, Daphne. Oh, sweet dreams, right? I don't know what to say.
God.
I'm a creepy man now in this child's childhood. Now I'm like a villain.
You're that guy.
I'm a villain,
You're that guy.
Yeah, I'm like a male, like Ursula the Sea Witch to this kid, probably, right? So anyway, she's like, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to step outside, you know, sweet dreams. And then instead of saying Daphne, I called the girl Darman, right? I was like, good night, Darman.
Oh.
And then the young girl starts like, Darman. And like starts like, I don't know if she was really crying, but making like crying sounds that sounded like there could be water coming out of her face at the same time. And I'm like, I'm going to step outside.
Wow, dude.
And then she's like. So then I had to stand in the hallway while this lady puts her kid to sleep again, you know, and thankfully I had a bowl of apples in the kitchen. So I ate about 2 or 3 apples out there because they did have a nice apples and it was a nice kitchen.
Did you hit it?
You know what? I can't even remember if we ended up making any love or not.
What?
Yeah. That's such bullshit.
It was 2 weeks ago. You remember.
Okay, we did, bro.
Oh,
but I will say this, dude. It was a nice house.
Well, you made her.
And it was not good sex. It was like 6 minutes of sex. I'm not good at sex, so.
Wow, yeah, because I'm not good at sex. Well, you made her happy because.
So I ruined two ladies' night that
very
evening.
Very good.
No, that no, kid's you, life.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
It was bad.
We go to therapy.
And
so now do I vote?
Yes, you pick
and
your.
And you can base it on any
say,
criteria,
Theo,
whatever.
Yeah! As a comic, that story is just painfully too familiar.
Yeah.
Where you've done that, you get the magic of being on stage, and then you chase it, and you're just like 4 a.m. going, what is going on? And meeting the kid, Matthew, your story. I mean, to go from Meryl Streep to Snoop, but I will say I'm giving this one to the man who did have the big payoff, the money shot. Theo wins this round. I was waiting for Snoop to put you on the throne with him. Like, what's up, playa?
It was 3 bedroom, 3 bath.
It was really good, yeah.
It was 3 bedroom,
that
3
one,
bath.
I just, I
you've been there.
I hate to admit how much, and when you're just like, as a guy, you're just like, I should have left. I should never have shown up, but now I'm committed.
Yeah. Hold on, we have the ghost of Darman on the phone. Theo.
I mean,
why did you fuck my mother?
Whoa, Darman, pipe down.
Oh, no, I forgot he was Persian. Hold on. I can't do it. Theo. All right, so Theo wins that round.
Both
great stories.
They were great stories. And I love how, did you notice how he turned into a host at the end and he was like, giving away the prize.
The consolation prize. Perfect.
Build the drama.
Now we move on to move on to round 2, which is our interview segment. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, Theo is a stand-up comic, so obviously his storytelling might be better. I am an interviewer by trade, so obviously
Matt also spent 6 years working on TMZ and telling stories in the camera, so he's very familiar with this, and don't let him lead you astray.
That's true. Okay, well, I'm just trying to get some brownie points. my first question is...
Hopefully they're not brownie at Snoop birthday.
Speaking of brownies, my first question is, on American Ninja Warrior... Do they have there's a lot of handsome ripped men who are on this show. Do they have like a locker room or something where they're all together and changing and stuff beforehand? And do you ever just happen to
my trailer? We really don't. Before, when we're doing the qualifying rounds, like in Venice, Houston, all the cities out there, we don't pay for them to travel. We don't provide hotels. We have a tent set up where they change.
This should be American Jewish Warrior. This is cheap as fuck.
Like, we were in St. Louis last year. It was 20 degrees. There was like a propane heater that they all were huddled around.
Okay.
So, no, there isn't. When we go to Vegas, though, we put them up in a really nice hotel, Hooters. And
I like that hotel, actually.
And is it? I haven't been.
It is nice.
They put us up at the Rumors, which is like right across from Hard Rock. Actually, this year we got bumped up, but it's like a swinger. The first year we went there was a swingers convention going
on.
And day party. We shoot at night. It was just, and swingers are not attractive. Ooh. It's not what you picture, you know? Brad and Angelina aren't showing up.
No, but there's always one brother at a swingers convention that is just knocking it all out. Dude, it's like a Curtis Granderson. This dude is just homering every ball that comes over.
Wow. I've never been to a swingers convention. I guess I have to be in a relationship to be in a swingers convention, right?
I think you could find someone who you'd want to bring.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Have Grindr.
Well,
you have a swingers convention.
Have friends
mutual synergy, right?
You have Grindr. So that's a swingers convention in your pocket.
Yeah. All right. Matt and I are going to a swingers convention.
Okay.
I will say people, like we have more female viewers, but we do have a lot of gay viewers. And I think, you know, you appreciate the storytelling, but the people who are on this show are in the best shape.
Yeah.
Guys and girls. You just see these remarkably fit specimens.
These bursting muscles up close.
But we're up in the host tower. I miss, like, I wish we'd be down there.
Well, no, I don't. Hopefully you're not running down there to see some guy's tricep.
No, the girls. I mean, we have the women who compete on this show, too,
just beautiful ladies.
Oh, and so flexible and strong.
Beautiful
ladies. But they're all nice. But I think they would. They should.
So there is no locker room where they're
not that I know of.
Music
playing. I was going to say in Vegas when they're at the hotel. I mean, these are young, hard bodies who are working out, and I've heard there's some climbing of Mount Midoriyama that goes on in the hotel room.
Huh?
Oh, a lot of
even amongst the men, huh?
The guys and the girls are. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
We've definitely had gay characters, gay competitors. Come on,
hello. We've had
we've had all. So I'm sure there's just beautiful people just saying our bodies are meant to be shared. Right.
So let me oil you.
It's not even sex. They're just rubbing their bodies against each other and taking pictures.
God, you have great abs.
So if they're hiring for a fluffer or anything, if they need it.
There's no fluffer on American Ninja Warrior.
Maybe it helps with the course.
There is in the host tower, damn it. Yeah. I need to be excited for these runs.
All right, that's my question. My first question.
Is that a question or a pipe dream?
I got an answer. It doesn't exist.
He wants to set up his own Aaron Andrews camera.
Exactly.
Aaron Andrews. Oh, my God.
So I got to ask this. So a lot of beautiful women come through there, too. I mean, I'm a fan of the show. I mean, I've seen a lot of beautiful ladies go through the course. Has there ever been a girl that came through that you really felt an attraction? I mean, these are beautiful
women down
there.
A lot of them. The thing is, like, I'm up in the host tower, and you get to know them. And I'm also a big proponent of I love having this job, and I want to keep it.
Right, of course.
And I would just never want anyone to feel like, you know, you're putting them in an awkward situation. So, like, I'll talk to them. I'm friends with Facebook, but I've never...
Like, it's not like you could promise them that they would beat the course if they slept with you.
You know, like, a lot of it for me is, like...
You should, though.
We'll do these...
The stupid people who would believe it would be fantastic.
Oh, my God. It would be amazing
if
I could exploit it.
If you sleep with me, you'll beat the course.
But, I have tremendous respect for anyone who's... you know, trained and sacrificed to get on the course. And so, and I also want them to feel like, look, we pull for all of you and equally. And I never want anyone to feel like, oh, you're giving them an advantage, you know, whatever it is, telling them the obstacles or anything. So I'm always trying to be like, listen, I have no sway. I have no pull. I'm just here to tell your stories. And if you want to get naked in my room, ladies, come on.
I do have a trapeze set up in my room, but that is.
No, it's amazing though. Like you just see, like, cause they just play around and they're essentially in their underwear and some of these outfits.
Oh,
just
so have
showing
you ever
how
gone
strong
out
and flexible. No.
You've never
no.
had it happen?
Have you ever had...
I've gone out in a group with them, but I just... I'm like... You know, you just see how stories come up or something.
Yeah.
Or someone takes a text out of context I'm sure, cut to next season, I'll probably be banging. I'm going to go, what was I thinking? But I don't know. You just see how social media blows up or TMZ.
Completely.
And you want to
keep your job.
There's
sexual harassment stuff.
I know I'm going to say something stupid or tweet something idiotic at some point, so I don't want to give more material.
Right.
Having said that, though, I've watched a lot of those, like, you know, we have the submission videos, and sometimes at night in bed, you'll put them on and just go, my God, that's impressive.
Wow, then you become a real American Ninja Warrior.
Right? I don't know.
Five times a night.
And then, you know, the other thing is it's such a family show, too. Like,
you
know, the kids watching the moms, and it would just be one of those things where it's like, oh, he's just a sexed up perv.
Right. Yeah.
Which I am, but I don't want them to know.
Right. No, yeah, you got to hide that part.
Right.
All right, so my... is it me or you?
I think it's going to be me now. I have to ask this question. So what celebrities have come out and done the course that surprised you? And I will say this. I ran the course. I'm not calling myself a celebrity. I ran the course and failed miserably. And we will post that video on our website.
But did you go into it thinking that you would do well?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You're athletic, though.
I'm athletic. But you realize how you're not athletic anymore.
And a lot of it's technique, though. Like, if you spent an hour with these guys, they could get you through some of the obstacles. We've had... And here's the other thing I say. People are like, oh, what about the people who fail? And honestly, I really don't think, you know, everyone fails. We've had two people ruin in 7 years.
Yeah.
Everybody fails. So I don't look at it as because you don't complete it, you fail. It's like, you know, you have differing degrees of success. You're not as successful as you want. But the key is everyone's going to fall. You get one shot. So it's, you know, coming back in your body of work. I initially you'd kind of laugh or go, oh, people fell. But having tried it and having seen how hard they are, I'm always like, this is such a pussy answer. But I'm just like, you know, I think we respect people for their own success.
100%.
And now, celebs, we actually had like the guy.
What about some hidden celebs that have never been on? Because
Channing Tatum apparently wanted to come out when we were in Venice and get on the course. And we're like, cool, but we got to film you. And he's like, no cameras. Mm. Then we're like, well, we're not going to let you on the course if we can't film you.
Right.
And so we've had like some NFL guys. We've had a lot of Olympic gold medalists come out.
Wow.
I mean, we had John Ryan come out, the punter for the Seahawks.
Yeah,
he's an
I know him.
Player.
Sarah Colonna's fiance. Yeah,
and he was great. And so it's been cool seeing it. He did well. He was like a little stumble and his foot hit the water. I think he could have kept going.
That's
he's
awesome.
A big guy, though. He's like 220.
Yeah.
He's like a jacked punter.
Jacked punter. Now, that's also a gay sex term, isn't it?
A Jack Punter. No, that's a drag queen name. I'm Jack Punter.
Jack Punter. You know, we had like the guy from The Lion, the Witch, and the Chronicles of Narnia, the second one. Prince Caspian came out.
Oh, William, Ben Barnes? Oh, no, William.
William.
Dafoe?
No.
He's blonde, like a young kid. Guy. Blonde. I think he might even be British.
He is British.
Good looking.
Really handsome.
Man.
Very handsome.
He, yeah. I think he came out twice. So he's probably. Wow.
Yeah, Matt told me he comes out a third time. Actually.
All right.
And his address would be.
Right?
All right, my question.
Okay.
So if there was this locker room with like the harp going and people feeding these people, you know, grapes and stuff, and if you had to let only certain people in and not other people in, who would you say was the hottest person that has been on the show so far? Does someone stand out in your mind, male and female, as just, holy shit, that person should be
well,
a model?
Okay, so... You know, I think I can judge, like, as a guy, you can judge, like, that's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
But also, again, being on Twitter, you can get a sense of the women. And I would say the most polarizing guy, but the guy who's best-looking, this guy, Rob Moravsky, whose nickname was Adonis.
Looking him up.
And he came out, he's like 6'2", 220, shredded. But he's just, I actually, at the time, I called him like the villain from an 80s karate movie.
Yeah.
He's just like this over-the-top guy, but he's just like, hey, ladies, what's up?
Like a total jockey.
Yeah, jockey guy. And most of the guys are a little leaner and smaller, and this guy's like a big guy. So I would say the women, but women were, because he's so.
What's his name again?
Rob Moravsky.
Moravsky.
Okay. And actually moved out here now to act.
Oh, wow. Of course.
But he, one of the, there was this gorgeous woman on Twitter. And he's very arrogant, and we played it up.
Yes.
You know, he's a nice enough guy. I actually like him. But
that's
and this girl was like, this girl goes, oh, look at Rob Moravsky. I mean, come on. He has tiny calves. And I'm like, that's the insult. Like, when all you can come up with is this guy's calves are good, are tiny, then I'm like, this is a good-looking man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
I did it in a second.
He's a funny guy. Like, he got the jokes. So I think he's probably the best-looking guy. Women, I mean, it depends on your type. We've had some stunners.
Well, we know your type as far as guys go now. You like the big muscle types.
We had Mighty Casey, who came out, who's just 5 foot tall, 95 pounds.
Yes.
And this Casey Catanzaro, who's really cute, really pretty. We had Danielle Wolf, who's like a four-time U.S. national boxing champion. He's like 5'11", 150, just, you know, solid. So there's something for everyone.
Has any one-legged person ever done the course?
Yeah. We've actually had two or three.
Wow.
Three. And so two of them were below the knee. And for the, if you don't know the mechanics of it, like if it's below the knee, you can still function very athletically. Think, you know, Oscar Pistorius or something. You still the knee is an important joint. Above the knee, you end up, it's now from the hip, your mobility severely limited. So we had a guy come out, Derek Wida, which was one of the great stories. A guy lost his leg, IED, in Iraq or Afghanistan. Bomb. He was on the Hurt Locker guy. And he comes out on the course, and he's got a prosthetic leg for his hip. And he comes out, he takes it off.
And it turns into a bazooka?
And he blew us the fuck up! He takes the leg off, sets it down, and then goes through the quintuple steps on one leg.
So Rob and Danielle or Casey would be the ones who would be at the
Look at them, it's just there are so many beautiful people who are unbelievably fit that on any given night when they get wet, it's like, oh, that's number one.
That's true. You get to watch them all get wet, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting wet right now.
Okay. That's how. Well, things have changed. I hear you talking about the you were getting a little medical terminology there, I felt like, when you were describing the leg environment.
Yes.
And you were a doctor.
Yes.
You gave up doctoring.
Right. I know.
What happened? Was there like a lawsuit or something? You gave up doctoring?
I killed someone. No, it was honestly like, I got into medicine. I think I really
who
was.
Who does that?
I was good at. I was Ken Jeong now, that motherfucker.
Oh, that's true.
But the Asians
are taking all our jobs. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
and
we as white men have it tough.
And all of our backstories.
So for me, it was, medicine. I was really good at science, and I liked the idea of helping people. My dad was a doc. Didn't pressure me, but I was like, he loves his job. It's a respectable profession. I think it's a good fit on paper. And so I started doing pre-med, got into med school, did that. And then when I got into residency, I was just like, my heart wasn't in this. And I started, people's lives are in your hands. You're making life and death decisions. And I was just sitting there, and I just had this feelings of guilt and like, I'm not doing enough for my patients and I'm not passionate about this. And I felt like a fraud. And I was I was miserable. And I just wanted to take a year off. I was doing internal medicine. I'm like, maybe I'll switch to emergency medicine. Maybe it's, a different area of focus will be more stimulating or rewarding or whatever.
It wasn't.
And I'm going to take a year off. And I'd done stand-up a couple times in med school. And I'm like, I'm going to move out to L.A., live on the beach in Venice and do stand up for a year and clear my mind wow. and see what happens. And I think it was within like a month, I was just like, I'm never going back.
Wow.
And mind you, I'm out here at like, you know, Westwood Brew Co. and, yeah. and these yeah. shitty open mics bombing.
Right.
Bombing. But I was just, I was hooked. I loved wow. being in front of a crowd. And I was like, I think this is what I was meant to do. And my parents were really supportive and cool with it. And I got into commercials early on. Mm-hmm. So I was supporting my, yeah. I was making more money within yeah. like 6 yeah. months, you know, doing this than I was.
Wow. Well, must be nice.
I might need you to look at something before the yeah.
It's been
the
it's
podcast.
Been 16 years
that's
now.
That's still better.
Yeah. It's a growth that's been going on.
But on Ninja Warrior, occasionally I'll be like, have you been checked for lumps in your breasts? Let me do it.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. No. All right, Mike. It's been great. I'm so happy.
My question.
Doing,
oh, awesome. Yeah, that's that awesome, great, man.
That's cool. It fits you perfectly, that job.
My question, this is a social media question that comes from a fan named Neil Weiss, mm-hmm. who just happens to be my uncle.
Aww.
Were there ever any memorable wardrobe malfunctions of anybody doing the course? Anybody lose a top or something flip out or...
Yeah, there had to be a tit flap.
We had... So, inside Hollywood story, we have a stripper video that's on Facebook. It's like, I don't know, 30 million views or something. And it was a guy running the course naked. And it was actually a viral video we set up.
Oh,
where it was a guy...
Guys did it.
It was a guy in his underwear, you know, yeah. and like a flesh-colored underwear that we
Blurred out.
I'm trying to think. I don't think... On American Ninja Warrior, I don't recall ever anyone's, you know, maybe like a lot of girls will go in a scanty top and come out and it's like, whoa, it's cold. really cold. But no, I mean, so I do this other show, Hallmark's Home and Family, mm-hmm. Which is this lifestyle show. And there we actually had a girl who was enormously blessed in the upper chest breast mm-hmm. region. And she was doing like a dance and her enormous tit popped out on Hallmark.
Wow.
They had to
Hallmark?
Cut it out. On Hallmark. And they cut it. You know.
Well, that's one of those new cards where
but all of us were like, wait a second. Let's review the footage. Oh, yeah, that's the tit. Let's see it from another angle. Yeah, that's still a tit. Okay.
Wow,
so I've seen more on Hallmark than I have on Ninja.
Wow. Interesting.
But a lot of ninjas don't even have breasts. If you look at a lot of ninjas in history, they're all very lean chested.
Right. Yeah. Although, what's surprising is, and you know, I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about.
Yes.
We've had some busty ninjas come out. Some of like the some of the women now, they're not that super lean. They're a little more muscular. And some of them have like the strong, angry titties.
Wow,
and
yeah.
Big breasts.
Ooh,
where you're like, this woman
titties.
Would be, it'd be a fight. It'd be like going in with Ronda Rousey. They're yeah. strong.
Wow.
Good grip strength.
Like, yeah, like Max Baer.
That
like
hand job,
Max
you're just going to choke your guy out.
They fall on the course and they just bounce back up. That's just an unfair advantage.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to ask this question. This could be my final question.
This is your final question?
What ethnicity or stereotype do you feel like is the worst at this, at the American Ninja Warrior course? Because I got to say, even just watching it, like, first of all, you think ninjas, you think Asians, right. young Asians, and even some older Asians that just still seem really, really young. Because
right.
Asians have, like, a life expectancy of what? Like, 130 years.
Oh, my God.
So, but then you also, you'll see, like you'll see, like, Neon, you'll see African-American athletes out right. there, you'll see Miss Wolf, like
yeah.
you said. You'll see, like, they had a, like, I think even, like, a Jewish group of doctors that did
yeah.
it this
oh, yeah,
year. Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
see all types of, but who doesn't have it in them? Is it Germans? Is it the Swedes? Who can't do this?
I would say it's probably white males who used to be doctors really are the ones who lack it the most. No, honestly, what's crazy is it's been like, you know, again, six with mine. And you just, we've talked about this where I've stopped predicting who's going to do well.
Yeah, right.
Because you just don't know. You'll see someone, you know, like an NFL player come out or, you know, an Olympic athlete and they go out on the first the quintuple step check. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You won a gold medal. You can't get through this. And then you'll see like some Hausfrau come out and get to the fifth obstacle
yeah.
or something. So it really is unexpected and as to who's going to do well. And so even though, and the other thing is I'm terrified to answer that question because
yeah,
you talk about stereotypes anymore and it's like racist.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, well, it's not a driving course.
Yeah.
We know. We're going to wrap it up with my last question. If you had the opportunity, and you do right now, to challenge anybody in Hollywood to come do this course, who would you like to challenge?
Oh, wow, that's a good question.
Meryl Streep might not be available.
Meryl Streep would be great.
But someone who's realistic, who
yeah.
you'd like to
that's a
say,
great
come
question.
Out and do it.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
You know, he does his own stunts.
You're right.
That's
really
true. He does his own stunts.
And he's just, you know, when you were talking to Jerry O'Connell, he was doing that laugh.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't even do it. But I mean, obviously, and they'd probably get some press for American
Nightmare. Yeah, that would be great.
I would love to see Tom Cruise come out and do it, or Taylor Lautner, because he's
the little Tom Cruise movie.
And
the little Tom Cruise. I met him in a hallway two weeks ago at the comedy store. It seemed like a nice man.
Oh, my God. I love that man.
He's actually like a competitive, he was like a kung fu expert growing up.
Why don't you challenge him? You should challenge him.
Yeah. Right.
Challenge
Taylor Lautner, I'm calling you out.
You heard it.
Do you think he could do it?
Well, he did the movie. He did that parkour movie, Traceurs or whatever. And
let's make a bet.
He's done. I mean, like when you saw, he did some, I think, Funny or Die video where he did like his kung fu stuff. And like, clearly the guy is fit. And actually, I think his body type, he is a little.
He's concise.
Right. Yeah, he's concise.
Theo and I.
He's concise.
We can make a bet. Do you think he can do it or he can't do it?
I think I'm going to say that Taylor Lautner can do it.
I'm going to say he cannot.
Wow.
And Taylor, come out and prove us wrong. And tell
Matthew where the locker room is.
Yes, tell me where the locker room is, and I'll be happy to get you excited and ready to go.
Matt, would you let him run the course if he came out?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we would love. I mean, you know.
Maybe it could be for charity or something.
Celebrities would be
the
great.
The loser host of we'll donate to your charity.
We'll donate to your charity.
What we end up seeing is celebrities are scared to come out because they don't want to fail.
Right.
And it's just like, everyone's going to fail, guys. Yeah. It's no big deal.
Oh, look, I mean, I went out thinking that I was good at even just as a young man, and no. But still, I mean, it was awesome. It was an amazing
Well, I'll tell
experience.
You what. Come next March, we'd love to get you guys out there.
Ooh.
Oh, I would love to.
And that'd
do
be
it.
A head-to-head contest.
Whoa! Allegedly
settling who's the better athlete.
Well, Matt's won
head-to-head in the locker
contest.
Room, or are we talking? Okay. Anyway, so that is the end of round two. Mr. Eisman, you have to pick, based on whatever criteria you would like to choose for this round, who you prefer.
I got to say, both excellent questions. Matthew, you really picked up steam at the end, but the focus on the locker room, I think, is going to... I'm going to go... Theo, you gave a good breadth of questions there. It's going Theo again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Matt.
So good today.
I thought my locker room questions was a funny thing.
No, they're very funny. They're very funny. But they also... I'm sweating now. I'm sorry. I got to say, I'm so scared I'm going to say something that NBC is going to...
No,
calling it ABC is probably going to get me.
All right. Congratulations, Theo. You won that round, which... by process of elimination means you won the podcast.
But keep in mind, the third round is worth 2 points, so it's not settled now.
That's how we do it. That's how you do it.
There you go. So that brings us...
I love this. This is hosting 101, guys.
We're now at round three, which is the great debate, where we pick a topic.
Okay.
And Theo and I have different stances on it.
Okay.
We will each have a minute to discuss our stance, and then we will open up to a group discussion. Now, this is a topic that... we're doing because you are American Ninja Warrior, is in athletics and is in sports, and we kind of hinted at this before, but the topic is illegal drugs or steroids, doping, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Should they be allowed in the sports?
All right.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I love how Matt also refers to it as the sport. I have to say that is my favorite thing that Matt does.
That's true. Can you explain to me what sports are?
You're watching the sports again?
All right. We got a minute on the clock.
Minute on the clock.
And I honestly do not have a problem with it. And my reasoning is, one, if you open it up and everybody does that, then it levels the playing field. But I equate it to, and this is how gay I am, if you're an actor and you get plastic surgery and that helps you get parts... that is allowed, correct? I mean, there's nothing against that.
Right.
It's up to the person. If they want to make the choice to get the plastic surgery, which I wouldn't do. If they want to make the choice to dope, which whatever, it's up to everybody. They can make that decision for themselves, is my opinion. My problem with someone like Lance Armstrong was not the doping. It was the lying about it and the being someone that he was not. I think that doping and steroids and things like that, to me... if you want to, and I know it hurts people's health, if you want to do it to yourself, you can do it to yourself. And if that gives you the edge, then that gives you the edge, and someone else can have an edge doing something else. That's my POV.
Well stated. By the way, for the record, people at home, Theo was taking notes during that. Mm-hmm. That's how seriously he takes this debate.
I was actually just writing out things that I want for Christmas that I have to remind my family about.
He was writing down, call Darman. Gotta call Darman.
Darman.
Theo. Okay, Theo, your point of view.
All right, my point of view
is... this is someone who is obviously more well-versed in the sports.
And this is someone who's probably dabbled mildly over the years in some type of performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh.
So I think that the biggest issue you have is that you don't know what the side effects are. That's the biggest thing. I feel like you don't know what the side effects are. So you might be making just a really bad choice where you don't know the repercussions that you could face down the line. I don't think that they should allow performance-enhancing drugs, also because, you know, these athletes can then create records in sports that are better than at times when competitors didn't have the same performance-enhancing drugs. So just like you had, like, you know, Hank Aaron getting beaten out by Sammy Sosa and McGuire when they're doing the drugs off that one year, allegedly, you know, then they're setting new home run records. And you're like, well, what about these guys who, I mean, Ruth was on beer.
Right.
Babe Ruth was on beer. DiMaggio was on disease. What was that? Lou Gehrig's disease. So disease. They were on, like, these guys were on diseases and setting records.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Like, the same to equate it back to movies is the box office tallies of years and years ago is obviously due to inflation and is a different standard than it is now. So you can't even compare the two, which is what I don't think you can compare the two as far as, you know, the era back in the day or now. And
I think this is a great issue. And I think Jay Moore actually had a really good point when he's talked about it. He's like, he's in favor of performance enhancing drugs because athletes are essentially the guinea pigs for all of us who are going to probably end up taking a lot of these drugs.
That's a good point.
Like HGH. I think as I look at it, my dad is 76 and he's having some health issues, some physical stuff. And I'm like, there's no reason he shouldn't be on HGH.
Right.
He's had problems with his knee. And what we're seeing is I think the athletes have really been, if you think back in the 70s, there was a guy who played for the Broncos and the Raiders, Lyle Alzado, took like horse steroids, ended up developing brain tumors, likely related to
also,
the heavy steroid
use. But that's
his
choice.
No. But
he also allegedly ate hay every day.
Hay. But I think what we're seeing is the drugs have gotten much more refined. I think they're much more targeted. Point. And I think the doses are getting smaller and smaller as they get more efficacious in those doses. What I think is guys are on performance-enhancing drugs
no
right now.
What.
We just don't know how to test for them. I think that you look at the guys from Balco, Victor Conti, the guy out of the Bay Area, that, you know, they figure out these drug tests once they uncover the drugs, but they're, you know, two or three iterations ahead. So I'm guessing, you know, a goodly amount of every professional athlete is taking something, HGH or some of these, you know, Kobe went to Germany to get a treatment.
Yeah.
I think it's the hardest part is having a level playing field.
Right.
Because if someone is taking them and you're not, you are at a distinct disadvantage.
Right.
And then it does call into question, if you don't want to take them, are you costing yourself your career? So I don't think there's an easy answer. I do think that we're going to see more and more people on them. And what's interesting is we're going to start to see, you know, the athletes from the 70s and 80s as they age, what really are these effects, particularly as I think the drugs get better. So I think this one, I think you both made excellent points. I got to give it to Matt because, again, I don't think this was necessarily your strong subject area. You made a compelling argument. Well, so because it's a two-point round.
It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Look, we need some kind of tiebreaker.
Sudden
but
death.
Question, do they test for stuff on American Ninja Warrior?
No, we don't. And the reality, you know, with our guys, you look at how lean they are. The stuff that would be probably most beneficial, maybe testosterone or HGH. They don't want to be jacked. They need strength. What they need is recovery. Yeah. And you'll see, like with HGH and some of the testosterone, the lower levels, these guys, it's not so much about the building the strength. It's the fact that they can recover, like baseball players, 162 games in a season.
Yeah.
It's just the body staying healthy. Okay. And for Ninja, the other thing is the cost of these drugs is prohibitive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, HGH is probably going to be a few thousand dollars per month. And I don't think.
Well, I'm going to start getting ready for the course.
We could all go in on a batch if we want to.
Right?
But I agree. I mean, I think there's times and places where some of those drugs will hopefully start to become.
Look, I think a lot
beneficial.
Of movie actors, Stallone, you know, was caught
definitely.
With HGH. Hey, he doesn't look like that at 60 without taking some.
No,
some help.
They had a kid in our town who allegedly got a bunch of HGH. Like he found it in like a safe or something somewhere, and his forehead grew as big as possible.
And scene.
All right, so it's a tie. Is it a tie today, man? It might just have to be a tie.
I think we got to do something to pick a winner somehow.
Okay. All right. I'm in favor of a tiebreaker.
Okay.
The tiebreaker can be...
Let Eisman pick it.
Okay. I want to hear from you guys. Who do you want to see on American Ninja Warrior?
Ooh,
best answer good. Wins.
Bette Midler. Go ahead.
Joe Dirt.
David Spade? Or the character Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt would
the
be
real,
sweet.
The man whose parents left him at the Grand Canyon. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very sad.
I love the idea of Bette Midler singing Wind Beneath My Wings is to me on the host stand, but I would love to see Joe Dirt. I'm going to go to Theo.
That's bullshit.
So we can also challenge David Spade. Will you challenge
David Spade and Taylor Lautner? You've been challenged.
Wow.
Sounds great.
All right. Come defend your honor and your name, Taylor and David Spade. Thank you so much for
you
coming
guys, what
on,
a blast.
Matt.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, when does the your
So,
spin-off
Team
now.
Ninja Warrior will start airing in January. We've got Team USA versus the world in an all-star skills competition that's going to air sometime, probably when a show on NBC tanks. You'll see it pop
okay.
up. And the new season, if you want to come out, ANWCasting.com. It's American Ninja Warrior.
Wow.
Casting.com. Go apply. We're going to start up again next year heading into the Olympics. It's going to be a massive year.
That awesome. Is going to be a huge going year heading into the Olympics. Wow.
Yeah.
And just congrats on all your success, man.
Thanks,
it's inspiring
man.
Also to change career paths like that.
Yeah.
And to find success.
Life is short. Do what makes you happy. That's what my dad said.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Matt.
Guys. Thank you so much.